study of the book of Philippians. And tonight we're starting on verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. And we're going to take it verse by verse and dissect it to see what exactly Paul wanted us to learn from this section of Philippians 3. So I'm going to read from verse 12 down to verse 21, I believe, from the New King James Version. It says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold on of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Praise God. Hallelujah. So as we grow in the Lord and become familiar with the do's and don'ts of the Christian life, it is easy to become complacent. Brother Steve was talking about it this evening. You know, he said we need to be about the things of God. And you know, as we live our Christian life, sometimes it is easy to become complacent. We reason, I know what the scripture says, so why do I have to study it? We go through the outward motions of church attendance and church service. We become busy with Christian activities, busy work. We think we have arrived, but Paul lets us know in this chapter the challenges and challenges us to put no confidence in our accomplishments, our reputations, and our knowledge. He states emphatically that all these things are totally worthless. He counted it all as dung, as garbage. And he advises us to continue to grow and keep doing what we had did in order to get to the place where we are. To study the word and to immerse themselves in the thoughts of God. So first we're going to talk about pursuing maturity. You know, some people think mature, well, I've been in the church for 40 years and I'm mature. Well, if you came in the church and you got born again, but you never left that level, guess what? You're not mature. But there are different levels of maturity. There are different levels of maturity in the body of Christ. And we must obtain the highest level. A believer never arrives at perfection. There's always more to be grasped. There's always more to be learned. You know, there's an old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I'm here to tell you that you can teach an old dog new tricks. When you get in the Word of God, everything is possible. Hallelujah. Paul shares with us how to pursue and maintain deeper levels of maturity through these three points. First, he said in verse 12, to focus on the goal. He said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold for me. Now, Paul here is not assuming that he has it all together or that he has fully arrived in the maturity that it takes to receive that award. He knows that the award is out there, and he knows that it is attainable, just like we should know. We should know that the things of God are not out of reach for us, that it is there. He has given us goals to pursue it and goals to obtain. As long as a believer is on this earth, God will give him a plan for his life and goals to obtain it right here and right now. He will give us goals. Now, the way these goals are attained in Paul's life and in our lives, knowing God, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable to his death, is through the constant study of the Word. This is his plan for us possessing maturity in Christ. And it was the same path that Paul took in order to reach his place of maturity in Christ. Paul also said, forget. He said, forget those things that are behind. You know, we are commanded to do those. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, Paul said, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means am I perfect. He knows he's not an expert in all those things. You know, sometimes we allow that to hinder us. We think because we don't know enough of the Word, or we haven't been a Christian long enough, that we can't step out into the things that God has called us to do. But we can. You know, when I was in college, I took French. I wanted to be different from every other black person, you know. So I wanted to take French. Everybody else was taking Spanish. I wanted to take French. And so happened my teacher was a black woman, but she had been to France many times and she spoke French fluently. So I was in this class and I was doing well until it came down to speaking French. Because I could not hit that accent just right, I refused to do it. I refused until she told me that I was going to fail if I didn't speak French. Well, I told her, I said, well, you know, like Satan always said, let's come to a compromise. I asked her, I said, let's come to a compromise. And she told me, okay, if you grade all of my papers for the term, and if you do the final exam and you correct this and give me your book to give to the next class, I'll give you a good grade. You know, sometimes, you know, when God wants us to do certain things, sometimes we compromise. We compromise because we don't have things just right in our lives. But God is not asking us to be perfect. Matter of fact, we can't be perfect until we're with him. But he asks us sometimes to do things, to step out of our comfort zone. And sometimes we compromise or we take a step back saying, no, Lord, I can't do this because I'm not good enough. Well, you know what? He made us good enough. All right, I'm going to get off that rabbit trail now. I'm going to go back to forgetting. Paul used to think he had it all, and that caused him much trouble. As believers, we never arrive. We continue to get closer to perfection. When we think we have arrived, we become unteachable. Can't nobody tell us nothing. We know everything. And then we get ourselves into pride. Paul was careless once, but is now watching himself more carefully to ensure that it doesn't happen again by forgetting. Now, you know, Paul, you guys know Paul's story? Paul persecuted the church. He stood there and held people's coats and jackets while they stoned Stephen to death. He didn't have a perfect record, but he said, I forget those things that are behind me. What if he had to continue to remind himself of those things daily? He would have never written most of the New Testament. But he said, I forget those things. The one thing I do, he said, the one thing I do, I forget these things. And the Greek word for that is epilanthanome, which means assigning it to oblivion. So Paul assigned all of his past to oblivion. Every time a past memory or a past mistake or a past failure came up, he just assigned it to oblivion. And you know, this is what we must do for ourselves. This is a mark of maturity for us to forget a confessed sin. We got to forgive it. We got to forget it and forgive ourselves of it because God already has. And we need to stop pulling it up because all it does is nothing for us. Just put us down in the hole, make us become depressed. And we must forget about it, lest it cause a root of bitterness in us. You see, the devil wants us to concentrate on how far we've fallen instead of how far we have risen up. Satan wants us to focus on our past instead of our future. He wants us to see how far we have to go instead of how far we've come. And we've come a long way, baby. He wants us to think about how many times we failed instead of our successes. You know, we could have 100 successes and have one failure, and he'll bring that failure up every time. You know, this happened the last time you tried to do that. Well, you know, the last time you prayed for your bills to be paid, guess what? The money didn't come in. He will always bring it up. That's what he does. He's an accuser of the brother. He brings about all that calamity. But you know where he is? He's under our feet. Amen. The Bible says that God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Yes. And that is what we should do. Throw it into the sea of forgetfulness and never remember it again. Forget about it and reach forth. And the only way you can forget about it is your constant study of the Word of God. You've got to get in the Word of God so that it can renew your mind, so that it can renew your thinking. And a mature believer imitates God. You know, Paul said before, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that is what we are to do. Even if other people remember our sins, we are to forget about it. We are commanded to forget about it. And number three, he told us to press toward the mark. He said, I press or pursue toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There is a place of spiritual maturity, which is a high rank in the Lord. High rank in the Lord. Paul was aiming for it. He was telling the people at Philippi to aim for that high calling, that high mark, that prize. He had his eyes on the position of a four-star general. And if you guys don't know, four-star is the highest in the military ranks that you can go. The four-star general. And that is what he was aiming for. This position is available to all believers, not just the pastor, not just evangelists or teachers or prophets. It is available to every one of us, though few people attain it. So right now, Brother TJ is going to show us a clip, and I want, it's a little funny clip, but it's things that happen to us on a day-to-day basis that try to stop us from pressing toward the prize, the mark, the goal. Ready?
Hey, Carly. What? How's she doing?
She's gone around four times. She only has to make around one more lap and she makes the team.
Should we stop her?
Absolutely not. Go, Snow! I can do it. I can do it. Things are starting to look up for me.
From
me? I never give up.
You give up all the time. You gave up this morning.
You're right. As I was saying that sentence, I almost gave up and stopped talking.
You can do it! Look in! Pretty good!
She did it. Sue did it.
You okay?
Sue finally made something. Sue made the no-cut cross-country team. I've never been more proud of her than I was that day.
Oh, out of the arms!
Okay.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, this was a little funny clip, but guess what? A lot of the times during our day-to-day life, we get beat up like that. Like Brother Steve always said, he came in on triage, right? Sometimes we've got everything working against us that will keep us from pressing toward that prize. But just like this girl on this clip, no matter what comes, hail or high water, we need to keep reaching toward that goal. And even when we think we have obtained that goal, check again with God to make sure that that's the right finish line. And keep going toward the mark of the prize of the high calling that God has called us to. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's talk about living in maturity. Verse 15 says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Now, this is an invitation by Paul for us to join him in pressing forward to a higher ground in the Lord. To enjoy this kind of life, to attain it and to maintain it, we must think like Paul. We must forget our past mistakes and failures and our successes. Sometimes those successes hold us in the path also. Because I've heard people say, I used to be like this. I used to be in the Word daily. I used to do all of this in my last church. Well, we can't let those types of things hold us back either. We must forget past mistakes, failures, and successes of the past and continue to look forward to what lies ahead. Those who are spiritually mature or full grown are to have this mind and these convictions. Now, Paul goes on to say that if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Many people think differently than Paul. Many people think differently than our pastor. They may or may not be out of the will of God. But that's not the issue. The issue for the Philippian church or any church today is maturity. That is striving together for one common goal. If we together pursue maturity in God's word, he will reveal to us where our thinking is wrong. He will. Many differences which seem major will be straightened out. And later it will be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit when we're reading the word. If we're not on point with the pastor and some of the things he does, we pray for our pastor. We don't talk about him, but we pray for him. And then we pray that the Holy Spirit will correct our thinking in these things. You know, Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, it talked about that the people, when they had came to God, that every day that they studied the word, that they got in the word every day to know what it was saying. And you know, when we were at Bible college, the teachers got up there and said, don't just listen to me, get in the word for yourselves. We're supposed to search the word for ourselves, just like the Berean people did, to see if the things that are being preached are so. You know, when we get to heaven and God asks us, what did we do with the talents that we have? We can't say, well, pastor said or this preacher said. But no, because he's going to say, you had the Holy One living on the inside of you. You had the ability to study this out and ask my spirit what it meant for you to do in this life. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse Verse 16, it says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Now, right here, Paul has a change of direction. Paul addresses those believers who have grown to maturity, but who are now slacking off. They've become complacent in the word of God. They think, I've done enough, I've made it, I'm going to sit down on my throne, and that's where I'm going to stay until Jesus comes back. And you know, some of us get that way in our thinking sometimes. I've done enough for the church. I've even heard spouses tell that don't go to church, tell their spouses that do go to church, haven't you done enough? You did enough when you were young. You don't need to do anymore. That's enough for the church. You know, we can't listen to that kind of thinking, even if it is family. You know, just like on that clip, the husband, the father, wanted the child to give up. He wanted her to throw in the towel. But sometimes we just can't let family stop us from fulfilling the call of God in our lives. He encourages believers who have attained to any level in the Christian life to keep on and to never give up. Just like in that clip, they started cheering us on. Well, guess what? We have a cloud of witnesses in heaven that look down and cheer us on. Even if our family don't cheer us on, they're cheering us on. And guess what? Your spiritual family here is cheering you on. We want you to succeed and not fail. Amen. Hallelujah. When you advance, you must keep doing what caused you to succeed in the first place. You know, a lot of times I think back of when we first started the church and the things that we used to do. And then the Lord said that that's what you're still supposed to be doing. You know, sometimes we become complacent. We slack off in the things that God has told us to do because we get busy with other things, religious activities that God didn't even want done in the first place. So we must always go back to our first love, the first things that God had called us to do. There's no new plan of success. There's no new plan. That's right. You know, when there's no plan of success outside of the word of God. When I was in the Army, I was an ammunition officer. And we had one book, and it was called our Bible. And that's the book that we could go to for everything that we needed to know about any type of ammunition. The payload, what it needs to be stored next to, what it couldn't be stored next to. Well, our Bible, the Word of God, ought to be our go-to manual. Go-to for everything that we need in life. We shouldn't have to go to any other book but the Word of God. Now, I'm not telling you not to read other books because other books are good. It helps you see someone else's perspective on it. But when it comes right down to the nitty-gritty, you need to check it out what the Word of God says. Even when you listen to other preachers on the radio or on TV, you make sure you got the word right there before you so that you see that those things that they're saying are true to God's word. Our congregation as a whole must keep growing by the word of God and nothing else. Our pastor is faithful to teach and to preach us the word of God and nothing else. You know, Brother Hagin used to always say, we eat the hay and spit out the straw. Well, we got to be smart enough to do that. Take in the hay and spit out the straw. Verse 17, it says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. We all need role models. We need people that we can look up to, mentors that we can follow after. Here, Paul wants the Philippian people to follow his pattern of success. He wants them to get back into the word daily. He wants them to do the same thing that he does and not give up because someone comes in teaching another doctrine. He also told Timothy this same thing that he was telling the Philippian church. He advises Timothy to continue in the things which he had learned, scripture given by inspiration of God, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, we eat food, right? We eat food every day. And we can't possibly think that we have eaten enough food in the last 30 or 40 years to sustain us for the next 30 or 40 years. We can't possibly think that we've already eaten enough so the next 30 or 40 years or however long we live, we're not going to eat any more food. No, we don't do that. Well, the same thing happens with spiritually. We must partake or intake the word of God daily so that we are filled, so that we are full of his word. You know, we can't just have one meal on Sunday in the word of God from the pastor, don't come Wednesday, let the devil beat us up all week, and then come for another one on Sunday. No, we've got to have that meal every day of the week in order to sustain our strength in our body, in our spirit man. Paul goes on to say, and mark or examine or observe them that walk and keep on walking as an example. Our example needs to be godly people. You know, a lot of times in the media, and I used to hate when they used to say this, but they would put a famous dancer and singer as a role model for girls. And I could not believe that they would say she was a role model when all she did was dance and show her crotch most of the time dancing. That's not a role model for young girls or any female. We ought to have godly role models that you see that are pressing toward the mark, who are studying the word of God daily, who are doing the things that God have called them to do. Those are the ones that we set our eyes upon. We don't set our eyes on the ones who have sit down on God or don't even try at all, but those ones who are pressing toward that mark, those ones that are earnestly seeking God and his kingdom, those are the ones that should be our role models. Those are the ones that we should be imitators of. You know, Paul was heartbroken here. He said he was weeping. He was heartbroken that they chose to follow someone else's way than what he had taught them by the word. You know, sometimes when people leave the church and they say, well, I'm going because my kids need a better youth group. My kids need this and my kids need that. And it breaks my heart when I see all they do is that they just want to be doing what the world does. They want what the world has. They only go to church on Easter and Christmas. They call CEOs, right? Christmas and Easter only Christians. Yeah. It breaks my heart that they tell us one thing and they want something totally different. And it broke Paul's heart that they moved away from the things that they were taught. They quit following the plan of God for their lives. They pulled away. They had apathy toward the word of God, which pulls us away from the plan, and it is contrary to his word. Paul tells us about four results of giving up on the plan of God. Verse 19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. So Paul shows us the results of apathetic coasting. Number one, sin unto death. Number two, rebellion against God and his plan. Number three, slavery to things of this world. Number four, blindness to the divine viewpoint of life. So let's talk about the first one, sin unto death. Whose end or final outcome is destruction. The final outcome for someone who rejects the word of God as a pattern for this life is the sin unto death. A believer can physically die by the hands of Satan. Now, Satan can't possess their spirit, but he can cause circumstances to happen to where they can be physically killed by him. For example, the man at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, and Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit, they died. Whose God is their belly. Now here, belly or bowels are a reference to the person's emotions. These people no longer look at life through the word of God. They look through it through their emotions or their feelings. And when we are driven by our emotions, when our feelings become the criteria for life, we become a slave to the possessions of this world. We get a raise. God says, give more. No, God, I want a 52-inch TV. You get a bonus. God says, sow it into the ministry. No, God, I want new clothes and new shoes. Somebody comes by and gives you a big wad of money. God says, sow it to this ministry. No, God, I want a bigger house. I want a new car. We've become slaves to the possessions of this world when we let our emotions and our feelings take the place of the word of God in our lives. Amen. Our values are no longer exalting the things of God. We actually become an idol to ourselves. We no longer have the divine viewpoint of life, but the human earthly viewpoint, just as any other sinner. We think just like the others. Okay, let's talk about the divine viewpoint of life. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. Now, Paul draws a parallel here to the citizenships of believers. We are citizens of heaven living here on earth. We are a heavenly colony, just as Philippi was a Roman colony. We enjoy all the rights and the privileges of heaven right here on earth. We're supposed to. We're supposed to. We're kingdoms of heaven. We're ambassadors for Christ. The citizens of Philippi thought and acted as if they lived in Rome. We are citizens of the royal family of God, and we are to think and act as if we live in heaven, as if we're right there with God. We're supposed to act that way. We're supposed to live that way. This is a part of our ambassadorship. We are to want for nothing. In heaven, they don't want for anything. The roads are paved with gold. But it's a crystal lake, right? The gate has a big pearl. It's a pearl for a gate. We're to think that way right here. We're to live that way right here on earth. How do we do that? By renewing our minds with the word of God, pressing toward that mark. From which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a reference to the rapture of the church. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more after I read the next part. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 53 through 54 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ, nope, that's wrong, for the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that was written, death has swallowed up in is swallowed up in victory. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, we're going to be changed from this old corruptible body into an incorruptible body. We're going to have our glorified bodies, our resurrection body of Jesus Christ. We will have a body just like his. And boy, I'm going to use it too. I'm going to be going through doors and walls and everything else. Our weak, fleshly, and incorruptible bodies will be raised up in power and incorruptible, and in an incorruptible spiritual body. Now, this same power that transforms our natural bodies into glorified bodies will subdue everything else on the earth at the Lord's second advent. Praise God. So, do you have a purpose in life? We all have a purpose in life. As Paul said in this chapter, there is a unique purpose in life for which Christ took hold of you. You know, just like you were saved, just like you have salvation and it took a hold of you, well, we've got to take a hold of the rest of the word and not just stay at being saved, but move on higher in Christ Jesus. God said, for I know the plans I have for you. They are good plans and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Ask God to continue to reveal to you what your unique purpose is and how you can lay a hold of that purpose for your life. God wants us to press forward and respond to his upward call and forget those things that lie behind us. Paul attained this place in joy in this maturity in Christ. Paul attained his place of joy, and it showed through his life and through his works, the epistles that he wrote, that even though that he was in prison, even though that he was bound, even though that he was beaten, even though that he was shipwrecked, he still remained joy. Why? Because he knew that the prize was attainable in Christ Jesus. And he pressed toward that mark. And we are to press toward that mark and let nothing stop us. We must resist the temptation to coast or rest upon what we already know. We must continue to feast on the word of God daily. Only a daily intake of the word will give us stability and ensure our spiritual progress. And if you guys didn't know, we were talking about the maturity in Christ, growing up spiritually, getting in the word of God daily to sustain us. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you for the word tonight. We thank you, Father God, that we are not just hearers of the word, but that we are doers of the word. And we thank you, Father God, that you will help us each day to grow more and more in you. Holy Spirit, help us to attain, to press toward the mark for the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. We thank you for it, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.